Hello, this is Jason, and this is number 6. This is Alamoana. Hi, this is a 10-part video series on my journey from 2012 to 2020. It has been exciting so far, and I hope that you've seen the other videos. If not, they're on YouTube and Periscope, and the audio file is on my website. Well, this one is about Alamoana, and I returned to Alamoana after living there first. In 2014, that was the first place that I moved. And the video is called Honolulu, of the other one, because Alamoana is actually an area that's in South Honolulu. Hawaii is interesting because the way it's set up, you know, there's actually only one city in all of the islands of Hawaii, all the Hawaiian islands, and that one city is Honolulu. That's the only incorporated city. The other ones are towns. They're not cities. So like Kahului is a pretty big town, but it's not a city. It's a town. And so on and so forth. So I got into the habit of calling it South Honolulu, you know, to try to be specific, because Honolulu could refer to a very big area, and Alamoana narrows it down even more. There's a place there called Alamoana Park, and it's right next to Kaka'ako. Sometimes people get those two confused, or they use them interchangeably. There's a real horrible accident that was in Alamoana, and it was very close to the park and the storage unit that I was renting. It was actually like right in between the two, and apparently a drunk driver hit a bunch of people, pedestrians, and stuff, and it was awful. And I was there after it happened, and I saw all the police there and everything. But I remember them calling that Kaka'ako. And I'm going, that's not Kaka'ako, you know, that's Alamoana. I was puzzled at why they did that. But Kaka'ako is a little nicer, a little more upscale, and kind of a hipster area. Oh, I'm going to talk about Kaka'ako a little bit, because I spent some time there as well. So let me jump right into it. At the end of 2018, I moved back to Alamoana for about 5 months before I moved to Maui. I knew what to expect because I had lived there before. It was where I lived at the end of 2014 when I moved to Hawaii. And this time I had a bike, and so I rode it around Honolulu, and it was fun. I noticed two new health food stores when I was there, and since I'm an organic vegetarian, I take note, and I'm stoked when I see one because it's difficult to find the food that I eat. And I was actually walking down Queen, and I ran smack into Whole Foods. I couldn't even, I almost lost it. I just was like, whoa, Whole Foods is here. Because I had been in Hawaii Kai before, and I had no idea it was there. And it was just a huge, big surprise. And I mean, it was so close to everything. It was like, you know, about maybe a stone's throw away from the storage unit I was renting. And it was in between there and the beach. And the beach is only about, I don't know, 2 blocks away or so, maybe 3 blocks. And so I'm going to tell you about that a little bit. It was in this huge building. And so I would buy organic food on the first floor. And I talk about it in the past tense because it was a place I went to and visited. It's still there as far as I know. But it was about a block from the storage, and I would buy organic food on the first floor, and I would eat it on the second floor while I charged my devices and used the Wi-Fi, and sometimes I would smoke a little weed on the upper floors in the parking garage. It was pretty quiet up there in the corners, and you can also smoke weed on the bench right in front of the building. Nobody bothers you, but there's typically a lot of wind, so if you're down below, the wind will get you. Just make sure you know who's downwind from you, you know? If you're smoking cigarettes, nobody should be downwind from you. And I don't know how you do that, but if you're smoking weed, you might want to make sure there's no cops downwind from you. Remember, weed is medicine, cigarettes, poison. So I went there, you know, pretty frequently. It became a real fun spot to stop by. They also had like a bar area upstairs. And, you know, they didn't sell any organic drinks, so I couldn't buy anything. But they would give me some hot water if I asked, and I would make my own organic tea, organic coffee there, just a little brew it in a cup. And there's electricity in the bar area as well, just like one outlet. And then there's an outside seating area that was fun and it overlooked everything. And you could see the beach. Now, you know, and for some reason, the homeless people really didn't go there at all at first. And then a couple of them started going there. I think it was too new looking, and homeless people don't really like going places with a bunch of rich people, you know. Sometimes you'll see a homeless person in front of, or in a rich area, you know, asking for money because they know those people have money. But when it comes to like mingling and hanging out for a while and stuff, you know, it's, they're insecure, and you know, and they don't like people staring at them and whispering behind their backs. And some people are actually pretty mean. They say mean things to the homeless people, and it upsets me because it's unkind, and because, oh, I meant to start calling homeless people houseless people. I think that's important. You know, the word home is a mistranslation in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It should have been translated house. You can look that up in the Greek, in the Hebrew, Aramaic. It was, you know, it was a mistranslation in a lot of the English translations. Some of the older ones got it right. But anyways, be that as it may. Yeah, when I'm in public and when I'm doing stuff, you know, I don't look like a houseless person. So I get angry when they talk smack about these houseless people. And I got to hear it and listen to it, and because I don't condone it, and I think they should shut up, you know. And for instance, like, you know, what if they smell? You know, what does that mean? You know, does that mean that they don't have access to a shower? Doesn't necessarily mean they're lazy, or, you know. And how about people burning gasoline on houseless people constantly? What's that all about? You know, okay, so somebody's dirty and smelly, and you're burning gasoline on them all day. And you haven't, you know, talked to your elected officials about, you know, building public bathrooms or public showers or anything, and it smells like poop around. I mean, you've got to take some responsibility for your actions as well, you know. So another place that I visited that was the other health food store is called Down to Earth, and that's one of my favorite health food stores. Sadly, there's not one here in Kauai. But there is one in Maui, and I visited that one a lot in Kahului. And when I was in Oahu, the island of Oahu, I used to ride my bike to the one that was up on King Street. And that was a good little distance from Ala Moana. You know, sometimes I remember going there at night and like just racing back as fast as I could because the storage unit would close at 10. And if you get there at 10:01, you're locked out. You know, that's it. And so, and sometimes it would rain or you know, you get a flat tire. And I mean, just, you never know what was going to happen. And I used to cut it real close. But so instead of having to go to that one, you know, several miles away on King, there was one that opened up in Kaka'ako. And I think I like the Kaka'ako one even better, you know, because it just, they had electricity there for one, unlike the other one. And I just liked the layout. It was like brighter and friendlier. The other one seemed kind of old and small. And the upstairs part where you eat just seemed kind of crowded. And, you know, I don't know. So I would get some health food, organic food there, and eat it and sit down and charge up my stuff and get online. It's fantastic. And there's an area around the backside between the buildings where you can sit down as well. And it was even a little protected from the rain. I remember it rained sometimes when I was there and there was an umbrella at the table and I would just kind of duck under the umbrella and chill for a while. That one was real convenient too. It was right in between like the storage unit and the gym and the beach. It was real central. Now, I visited the Bishop 24-Hour Fitness Gym in downtown, and they end up changing their hours right after I started going to it. And it was kind of frustrating because I used to go there whenever I wanted and late at night, and then they started closing on weekends, and they just totally changed their hours. And you know, I talked to the security guard about it across the street, and that guy said that they're just too cheap to get their own security guard, and that they had trouble with a homeless person or something, you know, going in there. They said people like to blame a lot of stuff on the homeless that is probably not the homeless fault. So I remember at one point asking the guy behind the desk, I said, are you afraid? Are you scared for your life, bud? I mean, you know what I mean? Like this giant ogre guy, they're shutting it down for safety reasons because this guy with a neck like as big as my leg, you know, is afraid for his safety. Yeah, right, you know. I think what they really were doing was they were trying to save money. I think they're probably hurting for money, and they figured, you know, we don't want to pay workers to work all these hours when we don't have to. They're not a super sport gym. I believe they're on the active level, which is like the lowest level on 24-hour fitness. So that they've some active gyms, like the one in downtown Long Beach, close on the weekends. They say it's because that little strip mall in the parking garage, everything closes on the weekends, which is probably true. But, you know, not all 24-hour fitnesses are really open 24 hours. It's kind of goofy. And a lot of them close down at least a couple times a year on some major holidays. So I liked using the sauna there. That was awesome. That's one of my favorite things. I sweated out, you know, dirt there. I met some real interesting people in there too. I remember I met a veteran in the war. And I met a guy who's like an androgynous transitioning kid. He was real nice and smart, and we'd talk in there and stuff and hang out. And I also met this one African-American guy. I believe he was from one of the countries in Africa, and he had an accent. And he told me that one of guy's names is Hugh. And I looked that up, and that was pretty interesting. You know, that's not one that I've heard, and I've studied the names of God, and I've got a list of them from the Bible, but Hugh is not one of them. So I was paying 20 extra bucks a month besides my normal yearly gym membership fee that I pay to go to a super sport gym on Kapi'olani. And that was down the street a mile or two, but it was a super sport and open 24 hours. I was going to that one when I first moved to Hawaii. And then what happened was I visited Maui and Big Island for 5 months, and then I returned to Oahu. And so when I did that and I left, I canceled that add-on because I didn't want to keep paying the monthly fee because I wasn't going to use it. And what I should have done is frozen it because they allow you to freeze your membership for up to 6 months. And that would have worked out, but you know, I didn't know I was coming back for sure, and I didn't know they were going to change the price, and they changed the price and doubled it to 40 bucks a month. And so I said, you know, I'm not paying 40 bucks a month to do this, forget it. And because I had access to the downtown gym for my yearly fee. And so that was the end of my relationship with the Kapi'olani one. It wasn't in a real good area, the Kapi'olani one. You know, it's, and actually across the street at the 7-Eleven, somebody slashed my bike tire one time. Yeah, some jerk that was standing in front of the door smoking a cigarette I had a few words with, left my bike right out front, ran inside, got something, ran out, hot water, I think. And I noticed a couple minutes later, my front tire was empty. And then I replaced it, and I realized it had been slashed. So there's some tough people around there. That 7-Eleven, I don't know if it's back up again or not, but at one point they boarded it up, and they stopped service. They went out of business. So I couldn't tell if it was just sort of a renovation thing or if they were done. But there's at least two other 7-Elevens that I know of that I visited sometimes. One was in downtown and one was across the street from the fire station. So it's not like people hate 7-Eleven or they're going under because they're not making business. They make a lot of money, I think. And they're pretty useful. I like getting their hot water there. But they're hit and miss. Some 7-Elevens don't mind you getting hot water. Some do. And I think some people take advantage of them and then they change the policy. Because I've had some allow me even for years. And then some suddenly stop and tell me, nope, can't do it anymore. I think, too, sometimes they know that the water is not so good, like the cold water tasted funny sometimes in some 7-Elevens. And then they started saying you can't get cold water. And I was wondering, I wonder if they just know this water is jacked up, so they don't want to give it away to anybody because it's not good. Now, when I was in Ala Moana, I visited the state library, and that was great. I really liked that place, and when I return, I'm going to visit it. It's in this cool old building, and it's got a nice outside area that you can sit in on the bottom floor and on the upper floor. It's got computers you can use and a whole bunch of different areas. I like the ones downstairs because a lot of people forgot about them, and they're pretty relaxed. And it was cold down there, freezing cold. So if it's hot outside or you need to cool off, that was a great place to go. Just hot air rises, and they probably have the air conditioning set at one temperature for the whole building or something. But so the state library was great, and they got free Wi-Fi there. That one is open 6 days a week. It only closed on Sunday. And one day a week, I believe it was Thursday, they open up at like noon and stay open until 8 p.m. And that's pretty convenient. I'm a night owl, and that was a fun day to check it out. And right next to it was a park. I believe you pronounce it Iolani Park. And it was great. There's a palace there, and there's a grassy area I sat down and chilled at, wrote and thought, and I liked it. I didn't make a whole lot of friends there because here my philosophy is so many people try to talk to me that don't know me and want to hang out or want to be friends. I got into the habit of just pushing everybody away because, you know, I'm a writer and I'm trying to focus on my writing. And yeah, I could go party every night if I want. I could hang out with somebody every waking minute of my life if I want. But, you know, I didn't want to do that because I want to try to stay focused on what I'm doing and what I need to do. And I was pretty hurt from some events that happened in my life, and I was healing up and just didn't trust anybody. But there was one guy in the storage unit that I talked to a few times. Sometimes I ended up talking to somebody because I was curious if they had any weed because, you know, I was a medical marijuana patient in California, and I've got a back issue from a football injury, and it fixes my muscle spasms, helps my anxiety, and is fun. It makes me feel good. And so I remember there was one guy there. This is what happened, actually. There was an African-American guy that I was friends with. Real cool, chill dude, old dude. And we used to chat sometimes just because, I don't know, for some reason I click with the older crowd a bit. And this guy was unique, cool cat. And he always smelled like weed, and he smelled like good weed too. So eventually I just said, man, do you happen to have any weed or know where I can get some? And he's like, no, I don't smoke weed. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you smell like a forest. And he's like, oh no, it's the guy next to me where I sleep smokes weed. So what was happening was this other guy in the storage was smoking weed on him, and he was smelling like weed all the time. So I said, okay, well, and then I went to that guy, and yep, sure enough, he had a bag of weed, and he was buying weed, and he had a job, and so we became friends and started going in on bags together and stuff like that, and it was a pretty good situation. You know, and he had a chill spot, too, in the storage facility. He would actually sit inside of the storage unit, and he had a big one, and he would watch videos and stuff, and he was right next to an electrical outlet, and that's a good thing. If you ever get a storage unit and they have electrical outlets, try to get a unit that's next to one because you could charge your stuff up while you're there. You know, they usually don't want you doing it overnight, and they'll bust you. And they changed the policy. Man, they changed that place several times throughout the time that I was there, and I heard that it had changed a lot before I even got there. But they eventually started charging people a monthly fee if they wanted to use the electrical outlets. Yeah, and it became like a formal thing. But then they let you do it overnight too, which was kind of nice. You know, if you have no home, you know, you're thinking when you wake up, okay, I want to go somewhere with electricity so I can plug in and charge my stuff and then, you know, get on with my day. But if you have a way to charge it overnight, then it kind of frees you up. You have more options when you wake up. You could hit up a few spots that don't have electricity but do have Wi-Fi, and then go to an electricity place. So I kind of said no based on principle and based on need. And I just thought, nah, I can do without it. You know, I got other places I go and stuff. But it was a decent idea, you know. And some of the locals were pissed about it. I remember one local guy was cursing and yelling about it, and he would charge up his phone downstairs anyway, and they would jaw at each other, and they would tell him he can't do it, and he's saying, well, he's got to do it, and just like, well, keep me out of this one, you know. Just don't hurt each other, you guys. But, you know, what ends up happening, unfortunately, is if you get too many people doing that kind of thing, you just got a bunch of people loitering all the time. So I got into some organic wine there. They had, at Whole Foods, they had Groundswell organic red and white wine bottles. And it was inexpensive, too. It was the least expensive wine I could find, and it was organic. I believe it was about $5.99 a bottle, maybe, right around there. And then they stopped carrying the red, and then they stopped carrying the white. And I asked them what's going on, and they just said that they're not going to get it in anymore, that its manufacturer ran out or isn't producing it or something. And so that was a bummer. I bought the Daily Red wine as well. Those are good ones. Excuse me. It was red organic wine. And they happen to have that here at the Hoku Natural Food Store in a box. That's about two bottles worth. That's good. They've got the regular one, and they've got a Cabernet Sauvignon. Did I say that right? That one's good. Sauvignette? Something. Anyhow. Foodland also sold wine that I bought. They had organic bottles of wine, three for about $20, and the brand was Frey, F-R-E-Y, and it had a cork screw in it, or a cork in it, rather, you know, so I had to use a cork screw to pop that puppy out. Before I got a flask and just poured, you know, 7 to 8 some odd ounces in there and took it with me, I would typically drink about a half a bottle watching the sunset. That was kind of like a little ritual I had for a while, and that worked out real well. Wine actually keeps pretty well out of the refrigerator. You don't gotta refrigerate it. I'm sure it'll go bad eventually, but mine never did. And I never drank a whole bottle. I just a half a bottle is plenty. You know, that would give me a good buzz. And that's actually a little much. You know, now I drink less than that, and I prefer drinking less. But I kind of broke it into 2 days like that because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want it to go bad or sit around forever. And sometimes I would fast, and I really don't drink much when I fast, if any. And so sometimes it would need to last like 3 days or what have you. These boxes of organic daily red wine, it says on the box it lasts a month, which is nice. Now they've got a spigot on them. They've evolved the box, and it's a good price. It's about $17 some odd, and it includes about two bottles worth of wine. So in Foodland, I would buy some organic food there and get on their Wi-Fi, which was horrible. So sometimes I would just watch videos, like YouTube videos, because I had YouTube Premium. Now, I've only been attacked one time sleeping outside since 2014. And it was in Alamona Park during the day. I was sleeping there because, like I said before, there was a lot of days of my life I slept consecutive days and stayed up all night, and that worked real well. So I think this time I probably went to sleep around 7, 8 in the morning, woke up around 3 some odd o'clock in the afternoon, and very strangely somebody kicked me in the head, and I didn't know what the hell it was. And so after I figured it out and came to my senses, I realized that this dude did it. And he was kind of slowly walking off with this girl next to him walking with him. And I started screaming and yelling at him and going off. And I looked to the right, and there's a police station to the right. I was under these big, giant trees. And there's a police officer. So I started yelling to him what happened. Totally ignored me. Act like he didn't see it, didn't hear it. So there's two reasons why I didn't go after him. Number one, I thought the police officer was going to go after him after I talked to him. He didn't. And number two, I thought it might have been a trick. I thought maybe he was in cahoots with somebody else, that if I ran after him and left all my stuff behind right there, that somebody else was going to come steal it. So that was the reason why I didn't run up and deck the guy. And so I went up to the police officer, and I was pretty disappointed with his attitude. You know, I mean, in typical Hawaiian fashion, he was very laid back, slow, methodical, had no interest in running after this guy. But I did file a police report. You know, I thought tonight for the first time, wow, what if that was a setup? You know, what if that police officer paid that guy $20 and said, I want to know who this kid is over here, sleeping over here every day. I want you to go kick him in the head and slowly walk off with this girl. If he comes after you and attacks you, you know, I'll be there. I'll stop him and arrest him. And then your girl can say it never happened. And if he doesn't come after you, he'll come over to me and file a police report and give me his name, and I'll know who he is. So that's just a theory. You know, I don't know if that happened, but that's a possibility. I was thinking, spoiler alert, I was thinking about writing a fiction story about something like that happening. If that's what they wanted, you know, that's what they got. And I didn't think about that at the time, you know. So I told him everything, you know. It's about, you know, sleeping days, being houseless, gave him my name, first name, last name, and probably even shared a few random things with them. And so then they knew me. But, you know, I don't break the law. And I like the police knowing me and knowing I'm around, because they look out for me, you know. That's how I've always felt in Hawaii, you know. When I crashed, when I visited Kauai, and I crashed out at this place here in Lahue, and I slept on some concrete I found that I deemed acceptable for my sleep, you know, not in direct wind, not around pollution. I remember a cop pulled up one night and asked me who I was and everything, and I never have ID with me at night because I have a passport and I don't like to risk that being stolen or lost. So sometimes I've got like a Costco ID or something like that on me, or a debit card. But they typically ask me for ID and I say, no, I don't have any on me. But I think I told that woman who I was or what I was doing there or what have you. Sometimes they like to run you, make sure there's no warrants on you. But you don't know how comfortable I feel after a cop approaches me and leaves me alone, because they know I'm there. There's a record of them talking to me. You know, if something were to happen to me, there's a better chance that they'll come looking or know something happened. You know, but the interesting thing is, you know, if you want to sleep out, I wouldn't worry about being attacked, you know, because somebody has to have a motive to attack you, right? People don't just attack people for no reason unless they're absolutely insane and at the end of their rope, and that just doesn't happen very often. You know, somebody has to have a motive, and usually the motive is you did something to make them angry and piss them off. Sometimes the motive is something else. Sometimes you never know. Sometimes it's to steal from you. Who knows? You know, I don't attack people, and I'm not a thief, but I'm a writer, and I try to get into the heads of people to figure out what their deal is so I can write stories. And so if you sleep out, you know, don't trip out about being attacked by somebody or being unsafe, because somebody has to have a reason to attack you, you know. And it's illegal to attack somebody. You know, they can go to jail. And you might get up and kick their ass, too. So my philosophy is that if somebody attacks me in my sleep, it better be a death blow. Because if it's not, I'm going to get up and beat the shit out of them. And so far, that philosophy has served me well. So when I was in Ala Moana, it seemed like people were the cops were starting to crack down on people and like the homeless. But, you know, there was an increase in homeless people there too. Like they lined the building next to the storage unit where I was, which was a different storage unit and a couple of businesses. Like they would be gone in the daytime, but like at nighttime there would be a ton of them. Sometimes I would just duck over there to get online real quick or just to get out of the rain. But it was just a feeling because I started noticing a greater cop presence and more communication with the cops and homeless people tripping a little bit. And so I started planning to leave Ala Moana and move to Maui. And like I've said before, you know, I never really plan real far ahead when it comes to moving. Living on the street, you know, you think about things day to day. You're in the moment. You know, you don't plan like years down the line, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And plus, I didn't want to. I didn't want to give my thoughts away to anybody. I didn't want to wear it on my face. I wanted to live in the moment, figure it out later if it didn't pertain to now. And so my next step was I decided eventually that it was going to be to move to Maui. And that was one of the reasons. And also, Oahu just started seeming too big, you know. The place just started seeming real crowded. You know, there's a lot of tourists there. You know, it's just, I'm not certain, but I think there's about 500,000 some odd residents that are counted in Honolulu. And there's around 500,000 some odd tourists. I mean, it's an exceptional amount. And it almost like never ends. It's just a constant onslaught, which is kind of flattering, you know, and they spend money, and which helps the economy there. But there's the downside, too. You know, there's traffic, and there's pollution, and there's long lines sometimes, and looky-loos, and extra cameras, and just on and on and on. So one thing I enjoyed a lot was riding my bike at night, and I used to ride it to Magic Island, which is actually a peninsula. Right now, it could be an island if the seas keep rising. But one of my favorite spots was over at benches that overlooked the Hilton Hawaiian Village, because these lights would dance on the water at night, and it was beautiful. So I would take pictures and just relax. It reminded me of one of my favorite spots on Mission Bay that I would go. I think it might have been called Santa Clara Point or Santa Clarita. I'll have to look that up. But it was one of my favorite spots growing up that I would go there as well. And I would even chill with a friend sometimes. And because the lights would dance on the water and, you know, it was relaxing and unique. And so I would go there sometimes. And the police never bothered me over there, even after the park closed. You know, it was one of those things where you would have to park and walk a long distance to make it over there. Or you would have to drive your police car, you know, on the grass and things, which I don't think I ever saw them do. For what? You know, so it was nice and secluded and safe. It was pretty windy sometimes. The wind held pretty well there. But I'd take pics, write, think, and do whatever I wanted. I stopped advertising for companies on my t-shirts around 2014. I just figured, you know, why in the world am I going to pay a bunch of money to advertise for some company on my shirts? I ain't doing it no more. So I started wearing solid colors. You know, Long Beach, I wore a lot of solid black. When I moved to Hawaii, I wore a lot of solid white. And that was for a few reasons, but one reason is I realized it was going to be real hot and sunny in Hawaii, and the white helped keep me cool. And I had one exception, though. There was in Waikiki, there was a woman that sold 3 Hawaii t-shirts for $10. A real nice Asian lady at one of those stands over there. And I'd ride over there and get 3 of them or 6 of them and stash a couple away. And they're just simple and cool. You know, I get size medium and, you know, say Hawaii across the chest and have like a hibiscus flower. Or some of them would say Maui or things like that, and they're unique, you know. Walmart in Hawaii has some similar shirts for, I think, about $4.50. and they have a much smaller selection. Usually they've got just one at a time, but and they're of course more expensive. So I kind of miss her and miss that place, and when I return, I'll go there and I'll get some. Now, when I was in Ala Moana, sometimes I would visit Honolulu Harbor. If you're looking at Ala Moana Park, the harbor was just to the right of it. And the park is always super crowded and stuff, unless it's raining. And a lot of people there at the beach and playing volleyball. And if you just peel off to the right, there's a lot fewer people. And you can still see the sunset. And there's a seawall, and surfers would kind of carefully climb down it, and they'd swim out to a reef break. And there's a few people barbecuing sometimes, but it was pretty secluded and peaceful. I liked it. One time a plane crashed right where I hung out. And I wasn't there that day, but I was there just recently. And it was a trip, you know. I looked up the date and the incident tonight, and I read a news article on AP from December 18th, and then I remembered that it was a military exercise, a joint military exercise, and it was called Sentry Aloha. That was the name of it that they were doing. And the plane crashed in the water right there. I said it was 3 miles from Sand Island, which is over there by the harbor. And I imagine that it was just like right off of where I used to sit. Now, when I left Oahu, I took a taxi to the airport and I flew to Kahului with my things. I had bought a couple cardboard boxes. Sometimes I prefer those over luggage. And I had thrown away my suitcase because it was old and had some bugs in it. It was gross. And I like the downsize too. So what I did was I flew to Kahului, Maui. I took a taxi to the storage unit, put my stuff in storage, took a taxi back to the airport. Then I flew to San Diego and visited my dad for 2 weeks. And then I flew back to Maui. And I lived there for 1 year. And that is the topic of the next video. So in 2 days, on April 29th, I'm going to broadcast video number 7 called Kahului Maui. And I was there for about a year. And it will talk about the ups and downs, how I pulled it off and everything. It was a big adjustment, but I liked it. You know, I wrote my second haikus book there. Took a lot of pictures. I looked for Amanda Eller in the forest there. I went through the COVID-19 scare there, just the very beginning of it, because I moved from Maui to Kauai, where I am now, at the end of March. I believe it was like March 28th or something. So it was great. I really liked Maui and the people there. It was a slower pace, and you know, tried to live it up. Tried to be in the moment, just enjoy every minute of it. And I wrote a lot of poetry and stories. Used a camp shower for the first time there, which was unique. I had never used a camp shower before, so I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you about some sleep spots I found. A couple of people that tried to attack me that I fended off. Health food stores, biking and walking. I did both there. I biked for maybe half the time and walked for about half the time as well, about 6 months each, I think. What I had done in Oahu with my bike was convenient and something you might want to try if you have a bike in the storage unit and you're houseless, is sometimes I would stick it in the storage unit. You know, if you get a big enough storage unit, you can just wheel it right in. I would stick it on the back wheel with the front wheel up and just... And then, oh, it was so nice, I could just be without it for a while. And I didn't have to lock it up somewhere outside and wonder if it's safe or not. So I'll talk about that, and then Kihei and the mall and some friends I met there and things. It was just an exciting time all around. Maui, a lot of white people there too. You know, Oahu, the demographic is about 80% or more percent Asian. So for the first time in my life, I was a minority, and Maui's gotta be more white people than Asian people. I would say at least 50 to 75% white people. So I won't spoil it anymore about Kahului, but I was going to give you one more teaser, and I'm going to hold off on that until 2 days from now. So thank you for watching. Good luck. Take it easy. Shoots.